Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for Good Friday, March 29th, 2024. It's entitled, God's Promises, Good Friday? We're going to begin with a responsive reading. And it's based on a reading in our hymnal from John 12:23, 28-33, Philippians chapter 2, 8 and 9, Hebrews 12:2, and Galatians 6:14. It's from the God Word Translation. Jesus replied to them, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Father, give glory to your name." A voice from heaven said, "I have given it glory, and I will give it glory again." The crowd standing there heard the voice and said that it had thundered. Others in the crowd said that an angel had talked to him. Jesus replied, "That voice wasn't for my benefit, but for yours. This world is being judged now. The ruler of this world will be thrown out now. When I have been lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people toward me." By saying this, he indicated how he was going to die. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. This is why God has given him an exceptional honor, the name honored above all other names. We must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. Now he holds the honored position, the one next to God the Father on the heavenly throne. But it's unthinkable that I could ever brag about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his cross, my relationship to the world and its relationship to me have been crucified. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Then we're going to sing hymn 185, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We'll continue with scripture reading. This is based on responsive reading 640, Christ's Death. And it's John 19, verses 1 to 4, and verses 16 to 19 from God's Word Translation. Then Pilate had Jesus taken away and whipped. The soldiers twisted some thorny branches into a crown, placed it on his head, and put a purple cape on him. They went up to him and said, "Long live the King of the Jews," and slapped his face. Pilate went outside again and told the Jews, "I'm bringing him out to you to let you know I don't find this man guilty of anything." Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took Jesus. He carried his own cross and went out to the city to a location called the Skull. In Hebrew, this place is called Golgotha. The soldiers crucified Jesus and two other men there. Jesus was in the middle. Pilate wrote a notice and put it on the cross. The notice read, "Jesus from Nazareth, the King of the Jews." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And now, at this time, we would sing hymn number 210, which is, "Jesus Paid It All." Good Friday, the day of Jesus' brutal death, seems like a very bad day in the eyes of all those who cared and still care about Jesus. His death was great victory for those threatened by his fearless presence and life-altering ideas. His public execution by the godless Romans as a cursed criminal meant his threat to the rules of Jewish religious practices would soon fade. Jesus of Nazareth was a problem they had finally solved, or so they hoped. Enough uncertainty had entered their minds that they had petitioned the Roman governor Pontius Pilate to seal the gravesite and post a guard unit to stop his followers from taking his body and telling people that he had risen from the dead. Because this was something Jesus had prophesied about himself. No doubt the decision of Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the ruling council, to go to Pilate, request the body of Jesus, and then place it in his own new tomb had likely raised concerns about the breadth of support for Jesus among them. Good Friday only seems good for those who hated Jesus and wanted him dead, and they had gotten their wish. Yet as we mentioned, even the chief priests and Pharisees had heard Jesus say that after 3 days he would rise again. Jesus had also told of his betrayal by a friend to the chief priests and teachers of the law, to be condemned to death and turned over to the Gentiles, to be mocked, flogged, and crucified, just what had happened to him. Throughout the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' teaching and ministry, we see that Jesus repeatedly tried to prepare his disciples for his crucifixion and death, as well as his resurrection. However, his disciples are completely devastated, even though the events unfold just as Jesus had predicted. At first, only a few women are willing to consider what seemed impossible, that Jesus had defeated death. Good Friday was a terrible day for the followers of Jesus. As it is recorded in Luke 24, 19 to 21, they are mourning his death because they had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And instead, he was killed. As the resurrected Jesus, unrecognized by two of his discouraged disciples, talked to them as they walked along, he said something which seems rather harsh. He calls them foolish and slow of heart. Why? For not believing all that the prophets had spoken. Yet listen to what Jesus did next as he talked with them. Then, starting with what Moses and all the prophets had said about him, Jesus began to explain everything that had been written about himself in the scriptures. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Now, you might say, wait a minute, Jesus was only 30-something years old. How could anything have been written about him in the ancient scriptures? Well, it was prophecy. Jesus showed these two followers from scripture all that had happened to him had been prophesied in the scriptures and therefore needed to happen. In essence, Jesus is telling us, Good Friday is good, not just because it confirms the truth of my words, you know, that my prophecy came true, but because it fulfills God's promises that he has made to humanity in the Holy Scriptures in order to save humanity. Jesus' betrayal by a close friend is foreshadowed in Psalm 41, verse 9, which says, even my close friend, someone I trusted, someone who shared my bread, has turned against me. And that is what Judas did. The falling away of his disciples is seen in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, and was quoted by Jesus in Matthew 26, 31 and 56 as being necessary to fulfill the writings of the prophets. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And Jesus himself took that this was going to happen, and it did. As we've seen before, even before the enormity of Adam and Eve's sin against God had sunk into them in the Garden of Eden, God promises that an offspring of Eve would crush the tempter's head, and he, that is the devil, would strike his heel. This is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The promised one we are being told, will deal with the devil, not without some consequences, without being struck himself, but he will deal with him. On Good Friday, Jesus' words from the cross sound mournful, and I believe he meant them, but they draw our attention to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus took our sins upon himself, God the Father turned his back on him for that moment. He took sin upon him, our sin, and paid the penalty. If you look at Psalm 22, verses 1 to 24, that psalm foreshadows Jesus' suffering. It describes the piercing of his hands and feet and the dividing of his clothing. The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, described that his suffering, the suffering servant, Jesus, his suffering was for our sins. Even as we reject him and turn away from him and think that he's getting what he deserves without realizing he's doing it for us. Verse 9 in Isaiah 53 tells us he will be buried in the grave of the wealthy. And that's exactly what Joseph of Arimathea did as he came and took Jesus' body and placed him in his own stone-hewn tomb that he'd never used yet. It's no coincidence, also, that Jesus' death took place during the time of the Passover celebration. The Passover, this draws our attention to the events of the Exodus and the Passover lamb. John the Baptist, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, described Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When the Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt, and God sent Moses, and then he began to send plagues prior to the last plague, the 10th plague on Egypt, which caused the death of all the firstborn male, human and animals in Egypt, God gave Moses instructions on how the Hebrew people could avoid death in their households. They needed to take a lamb as a substitute for themselves. They would kill this lamb. They would catch its blood and put its blood over the doorways where they enter their home. Then they took the lamb and they cooked it and they ate it. While they were dressed, ready to leave Egypt, which they did early that next morning, death came upon Egypt, but those who placed their faith in God's word and trusted in the blood and body of the Lamb were spared. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 11 and 12. Good Friday is good for us because Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection fulfilled God's promises to send someone who would break the chains of sin and death for humanity, making it possible for us to have fellowship with God again. Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 reminds us all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. In Romans 5, 6 to 8, he writes, Christ died for us at a time when we were helpless and sinful. No one is really willing to die for an honest person, though someone might be willing to die for a truly good person. But God showed how much he loved us by having Christ die for us, even though we were sinful. Thank you, Lord. And in Romans 6:23, we are told the result of sin. Sin pays off with death. But God's gift is eternal life given by Jesus Christ our Lord. And John 3:16 explains why God did this. God loved the people of this world. That's why. So much that he gave his only son so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. Thank you, Lord. Good Friday is good because of what our God has done for us. If you accept Jesus' sacrifice for your sin, guilt is gone because Jesus has paid for your sin. Now, what should our response be to Good Friday? Pastor Rick Warren gives three great suggestions. First of all, he says, let's make our lives count. As a response to Good Friday and what Jesus has done for us, what God has done, let's make our lives count. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 reminds us, you know that your body is a temple where the Holy Spirit lives. The Spirit is in you and is a gift from God. You are no longer your own. God paid a great price for you, so use your body to honor God. Now, if we truly appreciate the price God paid for humanity's salvation, we cannot waste these lives of ours on trivial things. We have been bought with the blood and body of our Lord Jesus Christ to free us from slavery to sin. So let's make our lives count for our God who loves us so deeply. Secondly, let's be generous. Let's be generous too. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, you know that our Lord Jesus Christ was kind enough to give up all his riches and became poor so that you could become rich. We're reminded here of the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be generous too. If we understand the grace God has extended to us to give us eternal life with him, how can we not be generous towards him with all our resources? They're from him anyway. He supplies what we need. Our time, our money, our opportunities and gifts, be generous with them. God wants us to be like him, to be generous givers. So let's make our lives count. Let's be generous. And finally, let's share the good news of Jesus. Understanding what Jesus did for us on the cross. What Jesus did for him, for Paul on the cross, realigned Paul's whole purpose of life. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul writes, I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. To tell people the good news that we can be free of our sin, the good news that God has paid our penalty, the good news that we can have a relationship with him once again through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we really appreciate the good that Jesus achieved for us, for humanity, through his sacrifice on Good Friday, we will want to make our lives count and generously share this great news with others. Amen. Amen. We're going to close our service with Hallelujah, What a Savior, and then at Calvary. The benediction is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 from the New Living Translation. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May you rejoice in what God has done for you as you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Good Friday is a somber day, but it is a good day because of what God was doing for us. Unbelievable. He gave. gave himself for us. What's your response to him? Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.